From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Minnesota's firearms deer season opens today, and wildlife managers say it should be a good one. Minnesota's white-tailed deer population is about 1 million. The Department of Natural Resources expects this year's harvest to be in line with the 207,000 deer taken last year. Nearly 500,000 hunters are expected to test their skills and luck during the season, which ends in northern Minnesota November 20th and the rest of the state November 13th. A special season in southeastern Minnesota runs November 19 through 27. And conservation officers with the Minnesota DNR issued 1,110 citations or warnings during the 2010 firearms deer season. That's up about 1,035 from 2009. The DNR says the vast majority of deer hunters in Minnesota abide by the rules and regulations, but a small percentage run afoul of the law. Here's the top 10 ways how they do it. Last year, there were 180 citations for failure to validate the sight tag. Hunting over bait brought 150 citations, and failing to tag your deer met with 131 violations. There were 127 citations against hunters who were caught transporting a loaded or uncased firearm, and 110 cases where they didn't register their deer. 92 hunters were caught shining deer, 89 did not have their license with them when checked, and 87 were charged with trespassing. Shooting from a roadway is against the law, and 81 hunters were cited for doing it anyway. 63 hunters had no license at all. Tag validation was the largest infraction. Hunters need to remember Minnesota's deer license and sight tag comes as a two-part form. The upper half is the sight tag for tagging the deer in the field. The lower half is the deer license and registration slip. At the kill site, a hunter must detach the sight tag from the deer license and registration slip. Before moving the deer, the tag needs to be validated with the month, date, and time of day it was killed. Also remember, blaze orange is required on your cap and outer clothing above the waist. A little blaze orange for the rest of us is a good idea, too. Approximately 200 DNR officers will be traveling the back roads and hiking through the woods to ensure hunters hunt safely, ethically, and abide by the Minnesota hunting rules and regulations. Lodging tax revenues for September were up from the same month last year countywide, according to the latest report from the Cook County Auditor Treasurer's Office. Lutz and Tofte revenues were up 10.6% over 2010 at this time, and Grand Marais revenues inched up 0.7% over last September. The Gunflint Trail revenues for September are up 7% over last year. Overall, lodging tax revenues countywide are up 7.7% for the year to date. The auditor's office emphasizes that not all businesses report taxes at the same time each year, and revenues are an apples-to-apples comparison. That means only businesses which reported lodging tax revenues both in September of this year and last year are included in the monthly accounting. The U.S. Border Patrol has quietly stopped its controversial practice of routinely searching buses, trains, and airports for illegal immigrants at transportation hubs along the northern border and in the nation's interior. The move prevents agents from using what had long been an effective tool for tracking down people here illegally. Current and former Border Patrol agents said field offices around the country began receiving the order last month, soon after the Obama administration announced that to ease an overburdened immigration system, it would allow many illegal immigrants to remain in the country while it focuses on deporting those who have committed crimes. The routine bus, train, and airport checks typically involved agents milling around and questioning people who appeared suspicious and had long been criticized by immigrant rights groups. Critics said the tactic amounted to racial profiling and violated travelers' civil liberties. But agents said it was an effective way to catch unlawful immigrants, including smugglers and possible terrorists who had evaded detection at the border, as well as people who had overstayed their visas. The last firefighters flew or canoed out of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness over a week ago, leaving any lingering smoke and flame in the Pagami Creek fire for the first snows to snuff out. A massive cleanup continued with 150 miles of fire hose, dozens of water pumps, 200 canoes, and other gear used to battle the fire for the past 2 months. Some islands and peninsulas have burned hard, with only white rock showing amid charred black trees and ground. Yet in many areas, the forest is unscathed. Many campsites managed to avoid the fire altogether. Some of the more than 2,000 campsites across the BWCAW and 114 within the Pagami Creek fire perimeter, only 50 suffered fire damage. The fire is officially labeled as unstaffed. The firefight cost more than $22 million. Fewer than 10 campsites were damaged beyond use, and about 960 firefighting personnel were on hand at the fire's peak in late September. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.